Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hugh, this is about us.
No, it's about you, Joe.
No.
I got 7 weeks.
I have the same amount of weeks as you do.
No, you don't. That tape died last night.
I don't agree.
That tape died last night.
All right, let's get into this. All right,
first stage of grief, Joe.
Is denial. That's the truth.
There's still a pulse.
For real.
So you're not lowering this casket into the ground yet. All right,
we're digging the hole, though.
You can dig. I mean, we've dug Hugh's grave for years around here. So that's fine. I get it.
Is that an old joke?
I think it is. Feeling tight.
I didn't mean it that way, but I guess it is.
Dinosaur Douglas.
I'm going to try to find the exact wording of what I said. But you know, if you're not sure, what this is about is Saquon Barkley. And when the Eagles signed him, while I recognize he was a tremendous player, I was skeptical that Saquon would be a true difference maker. And hold on, before it went last.
I wasn't going to say nothing. I'm going to
let you cook.
Before it went last. Let you go.
The root of my take was I didn't think running backs made a difference win-losses, right? So they won 11 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see how he was going to move them forward to be a 12, 13, 14 win team. Now, I recognize the math on that take right now. They're 8-2. They look like they're going to win 12 or 13, whatever it's going to end up, maybe 14. That'd be great. So, I'm holding out my take until they get to win number 12. There's a pulse here until win number 12.
Unreal. Now, I think you're looking at it the wrong way because you're comparing it to the record last year. Compare it to what the record would be this year without him.
Well, that's a little harder to do.
Well, right. Because I think you're ignoring the obvious. Like, they would not. I think at least he's won them 3 games.
Well, that's a lot.
It's not a lot. Joe, did he not basically? He won the Eagles that game last night.
I have nothing bad to say about Saquon Barkley.
I know you don't. Yeah, because there's nothing bad to say.
But one player doesn't win football games. Like, he won it because the defense helped him win it, right?
Sure. No, but he also helps the defense, Joe.
Of course he does. Yeah. But that's why it's hard to parse that out the same way.
Well, he's the MVP of the Eagles right now. He is.
There's
no question about it.
He is moving up the rankings for the NFL MVP. Mm-hmm. Now, that would be the hammer. That'd be the last nail in my coffin if he wins the NFL MVP, because that would be cemented in. So, last night after the game, he was 150 to 1 to win the MVP. He was behind Sam Darnold. It was as someone who doesn't even think running backs will maybe ever win MVPs again. Mm-hmm. I bet on it last night because I was like, wait a second. He has a better chance than Sam Darnold. This is stupid. He's now down to 60-1. He's having an incredible season. I recognize I'm on my deathbed with this. Okay?
Yeah, you are. You're on life support.
I know. The doctor came in and said you probably have 6 weeks to live. And I said, okay, but I'm not dead yet. But I see where this is going. I see where it's going.
You see the writing on the wall, Joe.
I mean, I feel the same way.
Hold on a second.
No.
It took one playing of this music and one segment for me to admit I'm going to die on this hill. It took you a year and a half.
Wait a minute, because I had a stronger take, and it was more valid at the time.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
Defense always matters. Running backs rarely do.
No, especially when you talk about the slide that we had after week 10. So, with that being said, I know today I have not a leg to stand on, so that's why I rolled that out there. I mean, I give them their props. They played well.
Wait a second. It took you 11 weeks of top of the NFL defense to admit this.
No, they yesterday.
And we beat you up about it every day.
Yeah, y'all did beat me up about it every day. But yesterday, they showed a lot of poise, especially when you talk about a team. That was the best offense they faced. At that point, at this point in the season, you know, especially when you talk about the way that we started our second half of the season. Now, they have a few more tests coming up, but man, to hold a team that was coming in averaging 30 points, to hold them to what, 10? Because that last one, I don't, you know, and I'll be a man.
Hold on. It counts, though. Don't you try to lay the groundwork that doesn't count.
No,
the you fact heard that? You heard that?
No, I'm saying I give them the props. That last one don't count. So I give them 10 points. They held them to 10 points. That's pretty impressive, man. And the fact that the young Thundercats, I just want to give a shout-out again to Kobe Dean and the way he made that play. That was a goosebump play when the quarterback went to pull it down.
It was.
That was a really good play, man. So, yeah, I'm still in this thing. I just know that today ain't a good day to be just popping off with all that foolishness.
Okay. So, I mean, so what do we do now? You digging the grave back there? What are you doing? You lowering us down?
Yeah, well, if it were up to me, he's both be in there.
He's glowing already.
Not yet. Not yet.
I mean, like, you can stand as tall as you want.
I will.
The take is dead. I mean, like,
I will.
To try and make any sort of argument that Saquon hasn't been a difference maker for this team is just, it's
I'm going
ignorant.
Back to the original take. I've seen the same thing you have. I'm going back to the original take that I didn't think he'd move their win total up. He looks like he now is going to. Mm. We got to close this out, though.
I think
this is like you saying I have a terminal thing and then saying there's no reason to go out and have a good time today. No, I'm going
to. No, you need to pull the plug.
See, that's not right.
Says a wrap.
I'm not ready to go.
By the way, I've been trying to get a running back here for years, guys.
See this, you know what this?
Bijan Robinson, you know, so he feels vindicated.
Well, this is
I am vindicated. Yeah, there's no question about it.
He's saying no question. He feels vindicated.
But all right, you realize if they had gotten Bijan Robinson, there'd be no Jalen Carter. Like, that was the root of that one. So I feel vindicated because he's better.
But it's not necessarily about Bijan. It's about what a running back would have added to this offense. And the whole thing is, oh, we had a great offensive line. Like it seemed like simple math to me. Actually, Jordan Mailata said it, right, when he was the Tim McManus article about how they went to Nick Sirianni. They're like, Saquon is a good running back. We have a great O-line. Why not combine the two together?
Yep. Use us.
Is this my time to point out that Kenny Gainwell averaged 10 yards a carry last night?
That wasn't bad. We only cared about, what, three times?
I think four.
Yeah, that's not a bad average, though.
Would we have the same record if we didn't have Saquon and Kenny Gainwell?
That's not what I was saying.
No, but that's the point.
No, my point has always been they've run it well no matter who's back there, and I question if it was worth it. And so did they, for what it's worth, right? The Eagles didn't sign a running back for real since Shady left here. Mm-hmm. So they didn't think it was necessary, and then they went down wrong.
Take funeral for Howie.
Well, they weren't really wrong. It's just a different way of doing it. I mean, they were. Well,
they got it wrong.
They went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago with Miles Sanders.
It's cute. They might be 5-5 this year if they didn't have Saquon.
Cute.
Well, it's because the quarterback's not playing well.
Right. So not only is Saquon the MVP, he's saving Jalen Hurts' ass from getting, I mean.
And the defense is. The defense is really
saving
everybody.
We would be crushing Jalen Hurts if it weren't for Saquon Barkley.
Well, of course.
Well, at least y'all waited till at least 1 o'clock on a Friday to start, you know. Slinging mud on Jalen
It's not appropriate to have a funeral the day after the Eagles
beat
the Commanders like that.
We're not having a funeral. You
waited to 1 o'clock before you start slinging mud. Though.
You can dig the hole as deep as you want. This casket's not going down until they have their 12th win. That's all.
I'm lowering it.
Okay. And what are you laughing at? Your take's been
what are you talking about? No, this ain't about me.
You're just happy someone else has a bad take on this show. All right.
You got my ears. Like, what's the one of Joe's that...
Yeah, I forgot what his take was. Yeah.
He was so excited
I was
for
like,
this
wait,
moment.
Yeah, I was waiting on that.
Yeah, it was
I'm happy
one.
For you.
Thank you.
Your take was idiotic.
My take was not idiotic.
How does
my
defense
take,
not matter?
My take was right on point. So much so that it looks bad now. But look how long it took for my take to go bad. Your take went bad in one day.
Oh, stop.
It did. Went bad in one day.
They won 11 games last year with nobody running back.
You had like 2 days of your take, and then it just went.
Hold on. They stunk last year. Don't do the 11 games thing. We know what that team was. I don't want to hear it. No.
Hold on. Then
time
out.
That was spin doctor Julio right there.
Time out. The next time.
11 games.
Then, okay, that's fine. I will go under your premise that last year doesn't count. Then no one would have parrot to me Nick Sirianni's career record. Take 11 wins right out then because that doesn't count. Is that fair?
Yeah, kinda, I don't do that.
Sure.
I mean, Joe, I got bad news for you. His record's still really good without the 11-5 season.
Sure, but it's not as good.
Of course not.
Not as good. Steven Trenton's up next. What's up, Steve?
He's not like, hey, drop the mic.
Hey, gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Hey,
what's
Steve.
What's going on, Steve?
Good, good. Great Friday. Victory Friday. I'm happy about the win, but I'm still very surprised that Jalen Hurts is getting this kind of flack, man. I mean, he didn't play great last night, but I thought he played fine.
Okay, and so wait a minute, Steve. I'm going to let you talk, but why? Okay, so why is it like, hey, it's too much crap? Well, you just said he just played okay. How's it too much crap now?
Yeah, because Well, every quarterback has a game where they're okay. Patrick Mahomes has a game where he plays okay. You know, I think Jalen still is the quarterback for this team that could take them to the Super Bowl. And, you know, I honestly feel like, yeah, he's just getting too much crap. I mean, if we had other guys in this town, like, you know, they'd be talking about Lamar Jackson can't make the playoffs. They'd be talking about, you know, I mean, Jaden Daniels on the other side, given he has less weapons. But, I mean, we'd be tearing him apart, you know, after that kind of performance, one garbage time touchdown. I just feel like, you know, let's look at the positives, what he does for you. I mean, he opens up the offense, makes it so you can add the run into the offense. They're lowering the volume. Everybody knows it's going to be a numbers game. If they keep running the ball all season, they're very successful. If you get to that game where Jalen has to throw it 30, 35 times, I mean, ideally you're going to have a heavy box because we've been so successful with the run. So
heavy box,
I'm not really
crazy
worried about if he gets in a situation where he's got to throw it more. I feel like he's not the best quarterback in the NFL, but what do people want? Do they want us to score 45 points every single game?
Yes,
I mean, I feel like he's getting the job done. He deserves his flowers for that.
So, Steve, I think a lot of what you're saying is fair, but I think people are judging it based on what they have around him, right? Like, they probably should be a little bit better than they are offensively. Wouldn't you agree? But they have a line. They have two receivers. They have a tight end. They have Saquon. It feels like sometimes it's like a slog to get to, you know, the 25 whatever points they score.
Yeah, and that's what it is. That's basically what it is.
I agree, but you look at, you know, he's the quarterback who's touching the ball every play. There's such a high volume of stuff, and it feels like people just look at the mistakes. I mean, everybody makes mistakes in football. You know, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith running into each other. You know, Devontae not getting his feet down. I'm not saying they're bad, but, you know, they make mistakes too. Jalen makes mistakes.
Sure.
But overall, I think he's doing what we're asking him to do, and he shouldn't be penalized for the fact that Saquon Barkley is playing incredibly well.
So, I mean, Steve, I think the perception, what I find interesting is the perception. If you look at some of his numbers, they're almost exactly the same as 2 years ago. 2 years ago, he was everyone's favorite, right? And the sky was the limit. And now people don't feel the same way. But, like, you look at his yards per attempt, you look at his yards per completion, you look at his passer rating, his completion percentage. It's all pretty much the same as it was 2 years ago. It's just that, but people felt better about him then than they do now.
I think the teams have adjusted to what we did before, and they, you know, what Jalen Hurts was doing very well, they're preparing for that, and that's opening up the run game for Saquon Barkley, and the tides will probably turn again where teams go, okay, you know, this is really a running football team. We're going to load the box, and I think Jalen will be successful when they do that. And, you know, they're going to give him his opportunity, you know, to air it out and that kind of stuff. But if they're going to keep letting Saquon do this, then, you know, just keep doing it. No problem. It's nothing on Jalen. You know, that he's not throwing for 250 yards and three touchdowns or whatever, but I don't think he did. I mean, he had that one throw to A.J. on the third down. It was just horrible.
Yep.
I mean, it looked like he slipped.
Yep.
But, I mean, like I said, every player makes one bad mistake. His two receivers ran right into each other in the middle of the end zone. Players make bad mistakes, but I feel like people are just focusing on the negative with him. And, I'm faithful to the guy. He could take us to the Super Bowl.
Well,
Really, not a lot of guys would rather have.
Yeah, I mean, he did once. I mean, that you should have faith he could do it again. He did it once. I also think expectations change the way we talk, right? Like, people are thinking about the Super Bowl the last few weeks, so we're looking at him through the prism, Hugh, of is he going to be good enough in the biggest moments to, let's be real about this. They're going to have a moment in January. I don't know if the game's going to be here in Detroit, if it's going to be the whoever on the other side, maybe the Packers or whoever in the second round, where he's going to have to lead a drive with his arm to go finish a game. Like, mm-hmm. The other team's going to say, Saquon, we're not letting them run anymore. And I think that's what people think about when they watch him have his struggles. See, it's not, is he good? Is he bad? Like, no one thinks he's bad. That, I think, is what's on people's mind.
And I think that, it's all the way that people hear what's being said, because the caller just talked about how people are too hard on him. No, I don't think anybody is as hard on Jalen as he is on himself, because he set the standard. So when we sit here and we talk about it and we point out certain things that happen, like you know, we were tongue-in-cheeking this morning. If you take out the contribution of Saquon Barkley in that game last night and the contribution of that defense, we probably have a different outcome in that game. That's a fair assessment, especially when if you're being honest and you look at all the resources that were allocated to one side of the ball. You can't sit here and tell me that it's unfair to say that with the receivers that we have a Hall of Fame receiver that if you ask a lot of people outside of Philadelphia, they would say, yes, A.J. Brown is a Hall of Fame receiver.
I think he is.
And they're not getting the ball at the volume that they should be getting the ball. Now, I understand that Saquon Barkley is a big part of that, but I think that that's a fair criticism. That's not hating on anybody. That's just pointing out, okay, yeah, this offense is playing well. They are winning football games, but it feels like there's more to be had. And ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with saying that. I understand it's off the throes of having a good game yesterday. And, you know, we tempered that back a little bit. But we're trying to get to Louisiana. And we all know, we've seen it before. There's going to be games where we're going to have to put it on the shoulders of our quarterback. Perfect example, the MVP from last year. When it came time to put the game on his shoulders,
he stunk.
He didn't get it done.
No, he didn't.
And that's the knock on potentially the three-time MVP in the NFL right now, Lamar Jackson. That's the knock on him. So it's not bad, or I don't think it's being hard on anybody to set a high standard for him and point and talk about that standard.
So you know what that point you just made reminded me, or the one that Joe made about his numbers looking at least similar to 2022, which mm-hmm. I don't really think they're that similar, but
well, in the categories I said, passer
rating,
completion percentage.
Okay, gotcha. Right, so that reminds me a little bit of the people saying, "Well, they're 10-1, just like they were 10-1 last year." We have eyes, like we know that it looks different. It just does.
One area where he has significantly worse than 2 years ago, even though a lot of the numbers are kind of similar, he takes way more sacks, and Hugh, that to me is a product of he not seeing it right away, and then the pressure's getting there. He's taken a sack at a very high percentage this year.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because you would think, and this is a fair criticism, I think, that you would think that at this point in his career, 5 years into the game, that there should be a little bit more, I guess the best way to say it, is a sense of urgency to get the ball out of your hands quicker. Like we've heard on more than one occasion, and we've seen it for ourselves, we saw it last night, where it feels like Jalen keeps the ball in his hands a little bit too long. That's been the knock on him for the last couple of weeks. Even though we've been winning, that has been the knock on him. And there are going to be times where, like, here's the thing about the NFL, people, if I can help you understand it this way, is that when you watch film, even if you have success, even as well as that defense played, there are some plays out there that I guarantee you that when they go back and start watching film, Vic Fangio is going to say, hey, we need to clean this up. Because we're going to see that again. The play that Zach Bond got beat on, they're going to clean that play up. As well as Zach Bond played, he had like 14 tackles or something like that. The conversation at 15, I'm sorry. The conversation is, hey, good play, but hey, you need to clean that play up. Because teams are going to see that, and they're going to try to run that against you again. So you're always coming from a perspective or a position where you're always trying to get better.
I also think, and I think there's a lot of people that just get sensitive to Jalen Hurts.
Super sensitive.
But there's also there's a compliment in here. He's their most important player. We can argue, and we have all week, about who's their MVP and then the Saquon stuff. The most important player they have is the quarterback. The only way they're going to win is if the quarterback does what he's got to do. So his sack percentage this year, just to point this out, because I keep saying it every week. It's really high. Here are the only current starting quarterbacks in the league that have taken sacks at a higher percentage. Will Levis and Caleb Williams.
Every time you say Will Levis' name, I got to laugh.
That's it. Like nobody else takes sacks at a higher rate.
That's a horrible company.
I know.
Yeah, that's why I'm laughing, because all I can think about when this coach is like, man, what the hell are you doing?
Get rid of the football. Like, you can't do that.
It's the second time Hurts has found himself in the Will Levis company. Remember the turnover-worthy play rate early in the season?
We got to move away from Will Levis.
away from Will Levis.
This rousing conversation was brought to you by the Jug Handle Inn. Award-winning wings, great food, and incredible specials. Spread your wings and rediscover the Jug.
Let us talk about Jalen the way we want. Brought to you by the Jug. Andy in Westchester. Andy!
Yo, how's it going, guys?
What's
good,
up, man?
Andy. What are you feeling?
I think we're on the verge of, you were talking about Sirianni having a Britney Spears moment a few weeks ago. I think he's about to have his Martin Lawrence moment when he's running around in a trash bag, because now everyone's going to start saying, oh, why isn't he going for the extra, for 2 points? Why isn't he
I remember that. He's trying to lose weight.
I need Sirianni to have more Martin Lawrence moments. That would be great.
The man's gonna be in a bad way if people keep changing their tune on him. Yeah, but I mean, it was just an awesome win. I'm still convinced he's a good coach. I'm really worried about the. I don't think people are talking enough about the concussion with Hurts. He's goofy, and that's scary stuff, man. I wonder why Tua is even playing anymore, but. You know, it's not going to end well if that keeps happening, and if Hurts gets back out there and he is hurt.
Yeah, I just hope he's all right. But it was kind of bizarre last night because he stumbled and then, you know, he said he beat the protocol, whatever the heck that means. And then that interview he did with SVP was, I mean, maybe he was just fooling around, but when you add it all together, it did sound off.
Yeah, that interview just kind of was the freakiest thing to me. I don't know. I've had him before. My wife, that's what she does for a living, is works with concussion patients. And some of the stories you hear, it's just crazy what people go through. But anyway, back to fun stuff. I caught a couple new Hughes today. I don't know if they're in the field yet.
Oh, what do we have?
There's Humble Hugh when he's doing his take, you know, or pulling back his take.
Yeah.
And then Wall Street Hugh, he keeps talking about finances.
But, I like that. Yeah, Joe Lunardi's going to have a difficult time putting together this bracketology of all the Hughes because there's so many.
Well, there's still, I don't know if tongue-tied Hugh was out there before. But that kind of went to Humble Hugh because it sounds like Porky Pig sometimes when he's saying, you know, defense is not necessary. It's not luxury.
Yeah, I didn't want to. That hurt me to my soul to have to say that.
I could see it on your face. It was difficult.
Yeah, it was difficult.
It's a disaster.
I hate you, Kyle Quinn, with so much with the 500,000 subs.
That was so much
right now. It's a necessity for this team for sure because they keep them in it until, you know, they can catch up with the offense. It makes me think, like, you know, you wonder, this Miami's defensive players are just a bunch of punks. Like, they're complaining about Fangio, and look what he's done with all these your young Thundercats, Hugh, in this short amount of time. You know, they don't even know they're supposed to be rookies.
Well, yeah. especially Quinion, man.
Yeah, they're doing a hell of a job, man. It's just a great thing to see.
It's kind of like how happy we are of getting Saquon from New York. It's like, thanks, Miami, for being a bunch of immature losers. We got Fangio from you.
That's a good point. Sometimes these off seasons, you got to get lucky, right? Last year, we got unlucky because the Gannon thing happened so late that we kind of lost Fangio to Miami. And then it worked out the way. And this year, we got lucky, right? Saquon got free because Giants let him out. And then whatever happened down there between Fangio and the Dolphins. Andy, good phone call.
You ever heard of WIP Radio?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The TV show?
No, it's a big radio, sports radio in Philadelphia.
The callers on that show are something
brutal.
Else. Yep.
We lost to the 49ers in the playoff game, like 20-0 or 20-3. I was offensive coordinator, and I was listening. Caller calls in and says, Jack Gruden, the guy's an idiot. He says, if the guy's IQ was 1 point less, he'd be a plant. He's a f***ing idiot. I'm driving down a car, I got tears in my eyes. I'm like,
laughing, yeah.
Oh, my God. You go out, you know, you're warming up. We're playing the Rams. It's windy. We get out there early with Jay Fiedler and Randall Cunningham and Rodney Pete. We're throwing. This guy's up there, and he's going, hey, Gruden! And all the players can hear because it's not – nobody's there yet. Hey, Gruden! Hey, Gruden! He keeps going, hey, Gruden! Finally, I turn around. He's like, you suck. The players all fucking lie. Yeah. That was a tough place, man.
The voice of John Gruden, who's now with Barstool Sports. He was live last night. A little shout-out to you, the WIP caller and listener. I love that take, by the way. If his IQ was 1 point lower, he'd be a plant.
Yeah, callers can be brutal, man. I mean, you know, it's funny because we were at the tailgate last night, and, you know, a lot of them were yelling at some of us, and, you know, some of them were yelling some colorful things. So, yeah, it's I look at it like a rite of passage. I mean, it is what it is when you're here in Philadelphia.
Well, I love that he still has the memory. That was in 1995.
Because it hurt. It stung.
That was 30 years ago.
Joe, he felt that in his spirit. When you remember stuff like that from random people, that means they really hit a nerve.
I hope the person out there who called WIP in 1995 and said that if his IQ was 1 point lower, he'd be a plant, remembers it and feels pride right now hearing this.
He probably does. I would not be surprised. Because it's something, especially... When you talk about, it was some people that...
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
At the game last night, that were hella saucy. And I'm glad that you guys made home. And most of the time when I saw guys like that, they had a significant other with them that looked like they were like sober. It was one guy that was standing out there yelling at Elliot, dog. He had two tall boys, and he was two-fisting them, both of them. And she's sitting there looking, and you could tell. You know how you can tell when somebody's really faded because they have that glossed-over look?
Oh, yeah.
And their cheeks are, like, bright red?
Yeah.
Because you was like, he been pounding beers all day. Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn, is he going to make it through the game? And he had his significant other with it, and she kind of was leading him around by the hand. But he yelling and screaming at Elliot, and I just thought that was funny. I was like, that's Philadelphia in a nutshell. On a Thursday night football, and everybody's probably not going to work today, and they're enjoying themselves, getting ready for a long weekend.
Well, you mentioned rite of passage. That sounds like one to me. You have a few tall boys screaming at Elliott Shore Park.
Tall boy, but two of them, though, Joe. You two-fisted both of them. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, you're favoring one over the other. So I'm wondering which can has more fluid in it, or more liquid in it than the other one.
You think you try to even it out, or you go all left
I'm
and
saying
all right?
Evening it out
is a move.
Yeah.
First of all, if I'm drinking two tall boys,
yeah,
you got to kind of drink both of them, like, evenly, I would think.
Yeah,
Because you don't want to try to – you get one, and then you won't get the – yeah, so you – yeah.
Well, you don't want the one to
get warm.
Warm,
right? Yeah,
exactly.
Of course. You gotta,
I don't think
– you got to be smart about this.
Listen, at that point – I'm pretty sure it didn't matter if he was drinking warm beer.
I don't think he knew.
He was cool with either way.
But he was letting Elliot hear it. That's what he was doing.
Yes, he was.
All right, 215-592-9494. Back to the phone lines here. First, a little check-in our Twitter question. We'll get to Guess the Takes as well for Week 11 in the NFL. Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Our last time we checked in, you know, there was a lot of people out there who still had, you know, some level of doubt, and that doubt hasn't changed. So did last night's win erase all doubt for you about this Eagles team? I thought we'd have more than 50% on yes. I thought the optimistic view, the excited view, that they beat the Commanders view, the defense, all that would be there in Saquon. But 60% are saying no. 60% still have some doubt on this football team, and I can only guess
who could that be about?
I would guess it would be the quarterback who didn't do much in the first half.
That sounds about right. And I know a lot of people out there probably say, well, that's not fair. Hey, man, life ain't fair.
You know, you can tell a lot about how people, like, actually feel about Jalen by some of those poll results. Like that one, remember the one, the afternoon show did it not too long ago.
What's the best way to, like, ease the workload on Saquon,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And everyone said, give it to Kenny Gainwell.
Instead of throw the ball to Jalen.
Well, listen.
I would have voted Jalen, but Kenny Gainwell got 10 yards to carry last night.
Stop.
Every time I try to give Kenny Gainwell a little bit of props on this show, I get shut down. Just he's not a bad backup running back. Can we say that?
We can do better.
At that price?
No, there's
probably
no. We can do better than
price,
Kenny Gainwell.
At that price? He's cheap.
We could do better.
All right. That's there's your Kenny Gainwell content for the day. Matt and Broomall. What's up, Matt?
Matt.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, Matt?
So I think the Twitter poll was kind of the perfect segue to how I'm feeling. I mean, it's hard not to feel great about the Birds. I think that they truly do have, like, a really good team. Everyone's kind of having career years. Like, you look at guys like Vaughn, the two rookies are coming on, Jalen Carter's turning into a beast. But I think, like, if you're watching the Eagles play and you don't think Jalen Hurts is somewhat of a problem or you're not nervous about him, I think you're kind of delusional at this point. I mean, if you look at his stats are, he's having a pretty solid statistical season, but when you're really watching the games, he's kind of killing them in a lot of fronts, especially early on. He's continually to miss guys wide open. He bails out right. He leaves the pocket too early or he stays in too long. Like, does he ever throw guys open or have any anticipation on routes? It's always just finding guys who are wide open. Like, I just don't know how you could watch the team and think he's not somewhat of an issue.
Yeah, the one pushback I would give, the one thing I think he does do well is the deep ball down the sideline. I think he has a really good knack at that and touch on it, and he drops it in the right spot. But other than that, everything you said, I tend to agree with, right? Especially the crosser shoe, doesn't it feel like he waits till the guy's wide open?
A little bit, yeah. He doesn't put the ball in harm's way. That's probably the knock the route is open a lot sooner than when he's throwing the football.
But sometimes, Matt, I think to your point, if he saw it quicker and he got rid of it, those sacks wouldn't happen, right? And he wouldn't have to bail the pocket and run away from pressure because the ball would be out of his hands. It just feels like, I don't know, he just feels like sometimes he's a tick slow on everything and it impacts the play.
Yeah, I think there was a play last night where he rolled out right and threw it to Devontae on the sideline, and it looked as if it was a Devontae drop, and Devontae would tell you he has to catch it, and he should have caught it. But the play was, he was wide open 3 seconds before that, and if Jalen just stayed in the pocket and delivered it, it would have been an easy completion, but he rolled out right and got it there late. So just little things like that that are just killing momentum and killing us getting first down.
Yeah, you know, when you said that, I remember the play, and it's almost like in baseball, like when they turn the double play, if you put it on him perfectly,
he can turn it.
He could turn it, but if you throw it a little bit off, it throws the whole thing off. That's what that felt to me last night. Matt, there was also another one. Remember the play where he got sacked on it? Devontae was coming across, and he just didn't see him. And if he threw it, yep, he's wide open. Instead, he tries to run, and he just gets sacked.
Yeah, I think it was like 3rd and 5. It was a crosser. Would have probably picked up 20 yards, but Jalen couldn't get it to him.
Yeah, and look, they got, and Matt, it's a good phone call, but they have 2 months to get Jalen to just
be a
tick better.
You got time. And it's one of those things where it's okay to critique his game, but to the caller's point, he is playing decent this year. He's playing decent. We just want him to play a little bit better. That's it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone come on and said he's played bad or he's terrible or he's a bottom 10 quarterback. No one says that. It's just the hope that he could play a little bit better. And again, we keep saying this because I think it's so true. Not every game's going to be this way where they can run the ball this much. And like they didn't get anything in the running game for real until the fourth quarter. If they're down 14 points, do you think Kellen Moore's going to run the ball as much as he did last night? No way.
You got to throw it.
You can't. It's like the Saquon thing. And then he's played great. But this is part of why like his impact, he needs other things. Everything's got to go well for Saquon to be able to run that much like that and close it like that. If they're down 14 points, he's the same great player and his impact would be minimized. Like that's why the defense and Saquon together has become a special thing.
I don't have much faith that the Eagles team can win in a shootout. Not that I think they'll be in that position often because the defense is legitimately really good. But, I mean, say you do get into one of those games where you fall. Like, say the defense breaks in a similar fashion to the way they did in the Bucs game. And they go down 14-0 in the beginning of the game because the offense, let's be honest, the offense the first quarter stinks. Like it struggles. So the defense, the reason that they're still in these games after poor starts by the offense, if the defense lets up a touchdown or two, how do they look? How does Jalen look? I don't have much faith that they can win a game that way.
Let me give you an example too. I think you're talking about Kyle. Just go back to last year's Super Bowl. I don't think Brock Purdy played poorly, but he couldn't beat Mahomes when the game got higher scoring at the end.
And they didn't cash in enough
right
on their opportunities early. They were only up 10-0 when the Chiefs offense started badly.
Like you look at Purdy's numbers, it's kind of the way we talk about Hurts. I'm talking about the Super Bowl last year. He played fine, right? Purdy was not bad in the Super Bowl. In fact, his numbers were decent. But he couldn't like elevate to the next level and beat Mahomes. And to win the Super Bowl,
they're probably going to have to do that.
They're probably going to have to beat Mahomes. I mean, and I know the Chiefs offense isn't that good, but didn't we say this last year? And then the playoffs rolled around. Let's just be real. It's probably going to be Mahomes on the other side, right?
Yeah.
So
it probably is.
So we have to look at it through the prism of, can you beat Patrick Mahomes in the biggest spot? I think that's the whole thing with the Eagles right now. Let's talk to Ryan. Ryan's in Georgia. I think he wants us to pick him up on the way on the bus. Ryan, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys? How are you doing today?
What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Ryan.
Yeah, well, first off, before I get into the Eagles, you're right about those Buckies. There's one in Carolina, one in Georgia. The one in Carolina is going to be the one on your path. That's one off 95. The one in Georgia is closer to me.
It's Canton. It's like Canton. It's Canton, Georgia, right? Is it close to Canton?
No, it's Florence. In Georgia?
Yeah.
It's Macon, Warner Robins.
Oh, you're talking. Oh, it's one in Macon, Georgia?
Yeah, there's one in Macon off 75.
No, it's one past the. It's also one past Turner Field. Was it? That's not Turner Field anymore. What do they call it? Truest Park?
Yeah.
In Atlanta, one past that way, too. Past Canton, I think, is Canton, Georgia. So where you live? You live in Warner Robins?
No, I live down further south. I live in a small town called Valdosta.
Valdosta. I know Valdosta State. I know Valdosta. That's kind of out of the way, though, Ryan. What you want?
Maybe you meet up with us, Ryan.
I'll meet you at Bucky's.
He'll be at Bucky's. Okay.
But that ain't the one we're not gonna be at the one at Warner Robins though. We're gonna be at the one.
No. I'll go all the way, dude. I'm all in on this team right now. With the way this defense is playing, I'm all in. I'm getting down to New Orleans with you.
You know, I haven't thought about this possibility that we start off here with who knows, like maybe 35, 40 people, and we pick people along the way.
If I'm not mistaken, the one you're talking about, that's kind of like going on the way to Savannah, right? That's like going to Carolinas, like South Carolina, right?
Well, there's one in South Carolina, yeah.
No, I'm talking about going towards Florida. That the one you're talking about is going towards Florida, right? If I was coming from Georgia, from Atlanta. Yeah, that's kind of out of the way.
Down through Florida.
Yeah.
So just Ryan, when we pick you up, just hold a sign up, "Filthy 50," and we'll know you're the guy.
Yeah, we know who it is.
Yeah, we'll pick
you
up.
You got it, guys.
Ryan, what are you thinking on the team right now?
I mean, I'm a pretty young guy. I was in like elementary school when Dawkins was playing. But man, in my lifetime, I think I've maybe seen us with a good secondary once, maybe twice ever. And this year, man, we look something special. I mean, locking down receivers, nobody's catching the ball. I was talking to somebody yesterday, they had like Terry McLaurin in fantasy. I'm like, no, bench him. He's not going to do anything tonight. Not with Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell on him.
What's so incredible, Ryan, is not, you know, sometimes guys have up and down games, right? You'll have 80 yards and you'll have 25 mm-hmm. or 30 or 40 and it all evens out. Ryan, the craziest part is until the end and with obviously with Mitchell on during those snaps, they didn't even throw to him. He's their best weapon. And Jaden Daniels knows it. Cliff Kingsbury knows it. They want to get him the ball. That tells me Mitchell had him so locked down they couldn't even look over there.
No, I mean, if you see the highlights of it, he's all over him.
Yeah.
Not even a question. And they got very lucky that DeJean was called on that penalty because otherwise DeJean would have had a perfect night.
Yeah, that was a weird penalty. It was the one where it's the kind of the hold there, and you didn't even on the broadcast. And Ryan, we appreciate it. We'll see you on our trip down to Georgia or through Georgia to Louisiana. Hugh, I didn't get the refs had a weird night last night. I would call it actually they were subpar. They missed a couple things on the face masks on
the
Commanders.
People, I think people were yelling and screaming about that too.
And then they called that one on DeJean. I mean, I guess letter of the law, he did kind of pull his jersey, but it seemed like it had no impact. You know when the jersey stretches and it's like it doesn't even – it didn't seem like it impeded the receiver running at all, but they called it.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. But, you know, it was – like you said, last night there was a few calls that the refs missed. So it was just a bad night for the refs last night.
I thought they stunk. I mean, the couple of the face masks that they could – was it on Hurts? I think Hurts
was
face
masked. They missed one. They missed a big one.
Well, they missed a second one. Didn't they miss the one where the finger got hooked
in? Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking about. And the people in the crowd were upset.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. But there was
it was Smitty. Wasn't it Smitty?
I don't know.
When he caught a pass and they raked across his face.
I remember the crowd popping off when they saw the replay.
I think it was Smitty.
So also the play where Jalen got banged up, they had his face mask on that. The one where his face got slammed to the ground?
Yep.
Yeah, I think they had a bad night. Let's go to Violet, and then we got to play a little Guess the Takes for Week 11. Violet's in Virginia. Hey, Violet.
Hey, guys. Are you going to pick me up? Oh, boy.
Sure. Hugh, you had to get the addresses to your brother, the driver, to pick all these people up.
Yeah, okay. We'll figure it out. You got to kind of meet us on the highway. We don't like to deviate.
New Orleans.
Yeah, we don't kind of deviate. From
yeah, that. I just want to chime in. I mean, I'm really super excited. This defense is just blowing me away. I cannot believe how far they've come in such a short amount of time. Jalen, I mean, I was a little, you know, I was nervous and I was saying some not so nice things at the beginning of the game, but you know, hey, he turned it around. He, he played a great second half. I was really concerned about his health because I really do think that he got banged up more than he wanted to let on. Oh, I wanted to ask a question. So about Jake Elliott, and I don't know if this plays into it, and I know they practice all the time, but don't you think that practice and real life game is like two totally different things? And I mean, I don't really like he really didn't have to kick much lately, and I wonder if that
he kicked like 250 times on the sideline.
So, Violet, I agree with you. There is a big difference between the practice field and then the actual game when the pressure's on, right? Like these kickers in practice they spend 2 hours, right? Who knows how many times he's kicking and technique and all that. It is different, Violet. I thought that particularly the Jaguars game where they didn't use him the whole time and then they rolled him out there at the end. I think that's kind of challenging.
Oh my God! And it was like what a 50 something. I'm like really.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I think it's fair to point that out. Now, it's still his job, like to make them when they call on him. But I think it's fair. And Violet, we got to get this right. And we appreciate the call, Hugh. We're gonna have to give all the addresses to your brother who's driving the bus, and then we got to navigate.
Yeah, like I said, I think the best thing to do is just meet us at like a local spot, because it might, you know, driving into people's neighborhoods with a bus with a bunch of individuals that look like, you know, I don't know what we're gonna look like, but we're gonna be a motley crew of individuals. So I suggest we meet in like a localized place so we can just, you know.
You're trying to keep this thing simple?
Yeah, as possible. Close to the highway so we don't have to go too far.
Now, when we create the waiver for people to sign before this bus, are the three of us creating this waiver, or is this corporate going
to
take care of this?
I think corporate has to do this, because I'm pretty sure when it comes to the language, it's going to be things that I'm going to forget. So we need somebody that writes ironclad, you know.
Above our pay grade type of things?
Yes, definitely above our
pay grade. All right, before we go back to the phone lines to finish the show before the afternoon show, can we do a little guess the takes for week 11?
Yes.
It's time to guess the takes.
Yes. You go first because you're so excited.
A little excited over
there. I'm a little excited. I jumped the gun and everything. My take this weekend is that the Kansas City Chiefs are legit threatments. They're legit threatments to be three-peaters. Three-peaters.
How about undefeated?
Yeah.
How about like an undefeated season? If they win this game, the path to being undefeated is like right there.
Yeah, it is. Three-peaters.
First team ever.
Three-peaters.
How about this? Are you ready for a crazy thing I heard earlier this week? So, you know how Netflix has games on Christmas?
Yes.
So, they're on the path to having the most consecutive wins at any point in NFL history. Just like you add up the playoffs and the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
They would break the record on Christmas Day on Netflix, which obviously would do a gigantic audience. But like that would be NFL history, Netflix, for the most consecutive wins in pro football history.
Wow, and that'd be another feather in that cap. Because they got the fight tonight, don't they?
Yeah. Yes, they do.
Netflix
Jake Paul
is
and Mike
winning.
Tyson.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a side thing, and I guess less of a take, more of a prediction. Doesn't it? I think the Bills win Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling this could be the year, similar to Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, where Peyton sneaks in and gets one. Super Bowl.
Something like the 06 Bill, 06 Colts.
And this is the year Allen does it.
Well, if anyone's going to do it in the AFC, it feels like it's them. I know people love the Ravens. I don't buy their defense. All right, so what's your take? What's your guess to take, Kyle?
I believe the Lions are going to beat Jacksonville. I don't think it's going to look as good as the spread makes it out to be. Like, I think they're minus 14.
Yeah,
shaky win. People on TV the next day are saying, I think the Lions might have peaked a little bit too early.
Yeah, that one's coming. I could see that. All right, so Lions win, but it's not as dynamic as maybe people would have assumed. All right, here's my take. When the Jets lose to the Colts, they'll fall to 3-8. The take on Monday is going to be Aaron Rodgers is having the saddest ending to any great quarterback's career ever. You go through the greats, like top 10 guys, right? Elway went out with back-to-back Super Bowls. Joe Montana took the Chiefs to the title game. Even Brett Favre had that run with
Minnesota.
They went to the title game. You know, a couple guys went out with injury, like Steve Young, but the 2 years prior to that, he was still an All-Pro. Like, you don't see this to where, I mean, look at Tom Brady, right? He went to Tampa, won a Super Bowl, back to the playoffs. This is a sad ending.
Sad.
If he goes out with an injury last year and then like a 4-13 season, this is embarrassing.
I look at it more so it couldn't happen to a better guy.
Even Marino, right? He went to the playoffs this last year. Like, usually the great quarterbacks just get knocked out of the playoffs or like 500. His team stinks.
Look, not everybody's career ends gracefully.
Does you do anything for us?
I'm just saying.
Well, you got to come back here.
Yeah, I got to come back. I think I did. I think I got a win.
And then he fought our best player.
I got hurt, but then I got, you know, I went to the Super Bowl. So
but then that whole thing with T.O.
That was more of a WIP thing than it was a...
You're blaming WIP.
Classic player. Blaming WIP for the problems.
You know what? If you want to be honest, I blame Angelo Cataldi. That was his fault.
I like that, actually.
No, it was Angelo's fault. He knew it because he was sitting there talking bad about T.O. and I didn't defend him.
You believe this? Once a player, always a player.
Yeah, I didn't defend him, but it was Angelo's fault. It was definitely Angelo's fault.
I thought you were a radio host.
I am now, but back then I was straddling the fence.
Well, that was the problem. That was the real problem.
You waffled too much.
I was straddling the fence. I was the waffler.
Yeah, that was one of those things that wasn't going to last very long. The way you had it going.
You got to make pick a side, Douglas. Pick a side.
And here you are, all these years later. All right, let's go to Rick, who's up next on WIP. Hey, Rick.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Rick?
Just shout out to you, Hugh. I moved down here in 08, and, you know, was really missing home, had to watch the Super Bowl win on television with other people, you know, not Philly fans.
Mm-hmm.
Then I turn on the radio one day and I hear a familiar voice. I say, oh, that's my man, Hugh. So we really appreciated you when you were down here, but you're back home where you belong. So just wanted to say shout out to you.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for listening when I was in Atlanta. Thank you so much. And thank you for listening now.
No, definitely, definitely. So I just wanted to, I kind of echo your sentiments about, man, we gave Jalen a whole lot of time before we went in on him today. But I will say this, as I was sitting on hold, I was thinking about it. So let's deal with reality. You know, one of your callers said, if you want to act like these things aren't a problem, then you're delusional. So, So let's deal in the facts. Yes, there are some things to clean up. Yes, there's some problems. There's some issues. They have a little bit of time. Okay. So we can agree to that.
Yep.
But let's also deal with the fact that what did Jalen look like when he was in the second year of the under the same coordinator?
He looked great.
What did he look
like? Looked great.
He looked great. Yep. He looked great. So now, Hugh,
yes.
You've been in the locker room with guys. Change. They don't all process it at the same rate, do they?
Not really. No.
Okay, so maybe this guy just takes a little bit longer to process. I'm not saying the 2-year mark is what we got to wait for, but maybe that's just what we're seeing. When they were 2-2, I tell you, my heart was skipping beats, man. I'm like, oh my God. And then I had said, wait a minute, new coordinators, new system, new pieces. Give them a second. But see the defense, it's clicking.
But you know what, Rick? Look at it. Not to cut you off, but look at it like this, because this is kind of how I look at it. I don't know what it is. But Jalen's kind of been on a roller coaster because 1 week he looks like he looks good, and then he regresses a little bit. So, I hear what you're saying about the offensive coordinator, but he's had weeks where he looks comfortable in offense, and then he has weeks where he doesn't look so comfortable. So, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know if I can subscribe to that when it comes to him in that, because you know, like I said, he's had weeks where it looks like he's comfortable in offense. And then it looks like he regresses at times. So, you know, and the defense on the flip side, they're in the same boat. And they're steadily on the incline.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. That's just kind of how
no,
I look
I mean,
at
Ben,
it.
Rick, I think it's a fair point. And I think his career has borne that out, that it takes him a little while with new careers. And, Rick, we appreciate the call. Appreciate listening. I'll say this. Two things can be true at once. Is there a real chance that Jalen plays his best football under Kellen Moore next year, assuming this whole operation is still together next year? That is definitely possible.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to win the Super Bowl this year. You know what I mean? It's almost like the sun will come out tomorrow type of thing. It's raining today. Like, I got to go outside today and it's pouring. I know the sun will come out tomorrow. I'm sure Jalen's got a very good career, but I think it's okay to focus on the now because we're trying... I think we got the pieces, Hugh, to go do something this year. That's the whole point,
and
right?
I think that was the whole point all season long. You know, you talk about all these pieces we got. We got the quarterback.
Yep.
He got paid. So I think that the standard is high. And so when people think about that, they just want to feel good about it.
So before we go, we're going to hand over to the afternoon show as they get to react to a big win last night and an 8-2 Eagles team. Hugh, before we go, we got a big weekend of football. We get to relax because the Eagles are in the books, but... We got a fight on Netflix tonight. Jake Paul, Mike Tyson, Hugh Douglas. Who's your pick?
You know what? I'm old school, and I'm a big Mike Tyson fan growing up. I had a chance to meet him many, many years ago, even though I know that Jake Paul is the young Thundercat. And there's something to be said about having youth on your side.
But you're going with Tyson, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, man, that old man strength, man.
Tyson
can't make it. He can't make it a long, drawn-out fight. He has to make it quick. So
no
I'm,
long
yeah, I'm
talking.
Going, yeah, no long talking. Just go in there and take care of business. Mike Tyson.
I like it. Old man strength.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.